Well, almost 51 years ago, back in January of 2018, there was a classic matchup between the two top college basketball teams in the country at that time. They were both undefeated, number one team in the nation, the UCLA Bruins, pitted against the number two team in the nation, right, our very own University of Houston Cougars. And the matchup featured the two top big men in the country. It was Lou Alcindor, who later changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, 7 feet, 2 inches tall, later became the most prolific scorer in all of NBA history, more points scored than Michael Jordan, LeBron James, all those guys, still holds the highest score. And he was pitted against our very own Elvin Hayes, who was a 6'9" big man. I went to YMCA with Elvin Hayes Jr. And it was labeled as the game of the century, because this was the first televised regular season college basketball game in all of history. And it was held right here in Houston in a structure that we know and called the Astrodome. Anybody ever been to the Astrodome? So it was a classic matchup. And thankfully, at that time, our Houston Cougars came out on top by 2 points. But we all love to see a classic conflict, a classic matchup, whether it's Alcindor versus Hayes, whether it's Poe versus Tai Lung of the Kung Fu Panda, or if it's Kylo Ren versus Luke Skywalker. We all love to see the epic battle of the ages. But not only in the realm of basketball and lightsabers and kung fu, but also in the spiritual realm, we are engaged and involved in a classic and cosmic spiritual warfare of all the ages. And as we seek to engage and even triumph in our spiritual warfare, we need some guidance. We need some insight. Maybe this morning you're in here and you're involved in a spiritual conflict. It's the Christmas season, the most wonderful time of the year, but not for everybody. For some, it's a time of loneliness and sadness and coldness. Maybe you've just come through the college application process and you didn't quite attain your goal, and you're dealing with sadness, depression, jealousy. Maybe you're going to have a family reunion soon, and you're going to have to see that sibling, that uncle, that cousin, and you're really not looking forward to it, because this relative just has a way of getting underneath your skin and turning a joyous holiday into a very unpleasant experience. Maybe it's just the anxiety and the pressure of the season of trying to get through finals, trying to close out the year at your company, and just going to another one of those company Christmas parties where you have to sing Jingle Bells or Silent Night yet again, and all at the same time trying to deal with buying all those Christmas gifts for that family member that you can't think of anything that they really want or need, and the anxiety of the season is robbing you of any joy. All of these emotional and life experience can and probably do have a connection to the spiritual conflict that is happening in the heavenlies. And as we seek to engage in the spiritual conflict and triumph, we need some help from God's word to do so. So let's look at the classic spiritual narrative conflict in all of Scripture found in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, as we continue to focus on Jesus through the Gospel of Mark, and especially in this Christmas season. How can we engage and triumph in the spiritual conflict? Let's take a look. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 5. Now, when we last left our hero, he had been teaching the whole day parables. He's exhausted. He wants a break. He decides to go to the other side of the sea. While on his way to the other side of the sea, a life-threatening storm hits him, but Jesus calms the storm. And he continues on, and in picking up in chapter 5, verse 1, we see that they did come to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. Now, we don't know exactly where this is, but we are here at the Sea of Galilee. We were probably near Capernaum, and we travel to the other side, the eastern side, the right-hand side of the sea. We don't think we're in this far from the sea, Gadara or Gerasa, although it sounds pretty close to the name there. We think it's probably close to this area, Gergesa. And that's where we are. We're in this general country of 10 different cities, right? Those of you who know the Latin or Greek Decapolis, 10 major cities. This is the general country that we're in where people are going to be coming to see Jesus. But we think we're right around here. And so, in verse 2, when Jesus, he gets out of the boat and hears our word. Immediately, right? Pronto, Ma-shan. They aren't wasting any time with getting back to Jesus. What happens immediately? We hadn't seen that word in quite a while, but it's over 40 times in the book of Mark. Immediately, they met him, and here we go. We're going to set up our opponent, set up our conflictor. We're going to start to describe him. He's out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. This is our foe. This is our opponent. He describes it a little bit more. Verse 3, he lived among the tombs. Wow, what a neighborhood. What an address, you know? Where do you live? Oh, I live in Seven Meadows. Where do you live? Oh, I live in Grand Lakes. Where do you live? I live in Cinco Ranch. Where do you live? I live in the cemetery. Come on over and have some tea with me. I live in the cemetery. This is our foe. This is where he lives. He lives in the cemetery among the tombs. And then look at the formidability of our foe. We're going to see a lot of superlatives. Okay, those of you in AP English, right? You know how to read narrative literature and all this stuff, right? They're teaching on. Look at how our narrator starts to describe this. He lived among the tombs, and nobody, no one could bind him anymore. Look at the superlatives. Anymore. Not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. Here we go again, superlatives. Nobody, no one had the strength to subdue him. Look at the extremes again, starting in verse 5. And you're learning this, right, in your English classes. Night and day. What's that? That's the two extremes, right? All the time, night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, the extremes, the lowest parts of the earth, the highest parts of the earth. That's everywhere. He was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. Nobody can tame him in no place and all the time. This guy, they tried to chain him up. But he just, superhuman strength. He just got that baby off of him. He's sitting there. He's probably not wearing any clothes. Don't worry, we're not going to have Sam illustrate that for us. He's probably not wearing any clothes. But he's sitting here cutting himself with the rocks, gnashing himself. I mean, this is a formidable opponent. Nobody, no time, no place can stop this dude. Except introducing in this corner, verse 6, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran. No low contendro, no contest, falls down before him. An obvious expression of something who can tame me, something who is more powerful, is in my presence. Perhaps not worship, even though he falls down before him, and this word is used for worship, but no contest. We have found the match to battle for the classic conflict of the ages. He keeps going. Verse 7, crying out with a loud voice, he said, you and me, what we got? That's what it is, just these pronouns. Ni hawa, okay? Zamala, okay? What you got? What we got? What have you to do with me, Jesus? And here is our strongest, our most powerful statement yet of Jesus in Mark, from the lips of a man with an unclean spirit. Jesus, Son of the Most High God, perhaps an expression, a confession even of deity, of godness. I adjure you by God, do not torment me. Don't bother me. There's some hurt that can come upon him. For he was saying to him, come out of the man. The conflict, the torment involved Jesus trying to exorcise this demon out of the man. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. So although Jesus' authority and power is never in doubt, his exorcism may not have been instantaneous. And this is an example where he had been saying this to the man, and yet the demon was still in there. But the outcome and the authority is never in doubt. Jesus asked him, what is your name? Some people think this is to exert control or dominance over the man and the unclean spirit. We don't know, but we do know it is to illustrate and show that this is a multiple demon possession. It's not a single demon. It's a multiple demon possession. He tells us that. He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. And now we're going to see the first of the four beggings. There was a begging earlier, but it wasn't the same word, but it's related. This word is parakleo, where we get our word paraclete, the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see some paracleting going on here. The first one is here, verse 10. He begged him earnestly to not do something. What was that? To not send us out of the country, that area of the Decapolis, that 10 cities most likely. But what's the alternative? Verse 11, we got some pigs. We got some pigs. Now, a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And here's the second begging, the second parakleo, verse 12. They begged him, saying, don't send us here. This is what not to do, but send us here. Verse 12, send us to the pigs. Let us enter them. What does Jesus do? He says, okay, fine. Verse 13. He gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs in the herd, numbering about 2,000 pigs, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and the pigs drowned in the sea. And so we probably have at least 2,000 demons, maybe as much as 6,000. They all went into the pigs. The pigs drowned. So praise the Lord. Jesus has triumphed in the classic battle of the ages. This is the most descriptive of all demonic encounters in all of scriptures. And it's here in Mark, it's 330 verses long, whereas in Matthew, it's only 135. And Jesus has triumphed in the classic battle of the ages. And so, friends, as we seek to engage and triumph in whatever depression, whatever struggle, whatever conflict that you are engaged in, we too must believe that Jesus can deliver us. Believe that Jesus can deliver you. Now, the people back in Jesus' day, they did believe that Jesus could deliver people from demonic possession. But I think they probably believed that Jesus could deliver them from other things as well. And I think we believe that for today as well too. Because I personally, I don't think, and you guys may argue with me, I don't think I've ever met someone who I know for sure has been demon possessed. I have not been demon possessed, I think, as far as I know. You might disagree with me. How about anyone in here? Anyone ever think they've met, not you yourself, but you met someone who's been demon possessed? Now, I know some of our married couples are going to say, oh, well, my husband, well, you know, he was, oh boy, well, that night he was demon possessed. Well, anybody in here think they have met? Okay, no hands have gone up. All right, they just don't want to. Yeah, I know, I got our teenager sin. Yeah, he was demon possessed the other night there. Yeah, okay. All right, so, but I believe that we are engaged in demon oppression. Oppression. In other words, the demon is not inside of you, but the demons are outside and they're influencing circumstances, situations, emotions. And I get this throughout the Bible. We know that in Ephesians 6, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces and wickedness of darkness. It talks about in 1 Peter 5, how Satan is like a roaring lion. He's seeking someone to devour. 2 Timothy 2:26 talks about our relationships with others and how some people are held captive by the devil to do his will. James chapter 3 talks about if there's jealousy and selfish ambition. And verse 16 talks about that there will be disorder in every vile practice if there's jealousy and selfish ambition. And in verse 15, it tells us that this is not wisdom from the heavenlies, from above, but this is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And so, friends, you're going through a tough time. You think you might be involved in demonic oppression. How can you engage? How can you triumph in this season of Christmas? One very practical way, and the simple way, is just to pray. Just to pray for deliverance. Whatever your sadness, depression, conflict, pray for deliverance from any demonic oppression that might exist. But I want to give you a second practical way. We can't go through all the ways to be delivered from demonic oppression today. You've got to come to a Sunday school class to do that. But another practical way is, I would say, confess. Confess if there's any jealousy or selfish ambition. Ask God to search your hearts. God, is there jealousy? Is there selfish ambition? Because that's demonic. And I don't want to have any part of that. Confess that. Ask God to search your hearts. Now, I will confess that even in this last week, I've had to deal with God about my issues of jealousy or selfish ambition. You guys know, some of you know, our seniors in here, this was the last week of notification for early decision. And some people got in, and some people didn't get in. And when I heard that this person got in, or this person didn't get in, I'm sad to say that as your pastor, I had feelings that were not all that holy, perhaps. I don't know. I'm still working through it. I was kind of happy that, oh, this person didn't, they got what they deserved, you know. They weren't pursuing God, and so they kind of... And then I was a little, you know, oh, I don't feel too good that this person got in. Because, you know, I don't know. I had to search my feelings. Was I being jealous? And so I want to encourage you. By the other hand, I heard of angelic stories. I heard of other college seniors who were genuinely and altruistically rooting for their peers. And I want to commend you if you were one of those people being angelic and genuinely praying for your fellow classmate outside of jealousy or selfish ambition. Parents, we too. You know, I think Facebook is the seedbed for demonic activity because it just breeds jealousy and selfish ambition. I've told you this before. I wanted to take a snapshot just 2 months ago. My team, my 3-on-3 KYB basketball team, Lim, it was Lim, you know, I could look it up online, Lim, 0-9. I had a perfectly losing season just this last season. Lim, should have taken a step. I want to post that on Facebook. All right, so confess if there's jealousy or selfish ambition. But let's move on. We need to believe that Jesus can deliver you through prayer and confession. But let's move on. Verse 14. What happens after this victorious classic encounter of the ages? Verse 14. The herdsmen fled, and here's a word, apangelo. We get the word angel from these roots. So there's an announcing, there's a declaring, there's a proclaiming, there's a go tell it on the mountain. They told it, they announced it in the city and in the country, and the people want to see, what is this? People came to see what it was that had happened. Verse 15, they come to Jesus. They're coming to Jesus and the demon-possessed man. And just in case we're confused as to who this is, Mark makes it very clear, the one who had the legion. The demon-possessed man, yeah, that guy who had the 6,000 demons. But look at the change that took place in his life. We're going to see three things. One, sitting there. He ain't running around like a chicken with his neck, head cut off. He's sitting there. Two, clothed. Okay, we already said we're not going to illustrate what was before the situation, Sam, right? But he's got clothes on now. That's a big transformation. Three, no mo loco. He's in his right mind. No mo loco. Okay? That's the Spanish word for crazy. Loco loco, right? No mo loco. Is that right, Daniel? Okay, my Spanish scholar there. Okay. And what is their response? They are afraid. We've seen that before. Where have we seen that? Chapter 4, verse 41, when Jesus calmed the storms and the waves, they were afraid. They're saying, who is this guy among us? He just cast out 6,000 demons. Who is this? We're afraid. Phobeo, phobia. That's the word. Verse 16. And those they're talking about, those who had seen it, described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. It's the talk of the town. And what do the people do? What do the masses, what do the Lao Bai Xing do? Verse 17, we're going to see beg number three. Verse 17, they began to beg Jesus to vamanos. Get out of here. I don't want you. Leave. Zou. Why? Probably like in chapter 4, they're caught up in the cares of the world. All they're concerned about is their livestock, their financial security, and Jesus threatens that. So what do? Can you believe it? They beg him to get out. And what does Jesus do? He honors that. He honors it. Verse 18. He said, okay, you don't want me here? I ain't going to be here. I'm leaving. Gets into the boat. He gets into the boat. But we're going to see beg number 4. End of verse 18. What happens? The man, okay, just in case there's any confusion, the man who had been possessed with demons, he begs, parakleo. What does he beg? I want to be with you. What a contrast. The common people say, get out of here. The man whose life was transformed. Come on, Jesus. Come into my situation. I'm going to come. I want to be with you. And we see this. We've seen this before. This is the essence of discipleship, is being with Jesus. Being with Jesus. We saw that in Mark 3, 14. When Jesus called them, he called them that they might be with him. And so that is the essence of discipleship. And friends, as we want to engage and triumph in whatever spiritual warfare, emotional, situational, relational that you're in, believe that Jesus can deliver you from that depression, from that conflict, but also beg to be with Jesus. Invite Jesus into your situation. Let him transform the situation. So you all know that we just buried my mom 2 weeks ago, and I'm so thankful for all of y'all's support and your cards, your prayers. And through the funeral, and people expressed their condolences, and they gave gifts to me. They gave me money. Some of it was, you know, cash. Some of it was written out to me. And when I was receiving this money, I had to ask, how close do I want Jesus to be to this money that I'm now receiving? Do I want him to be right here? Or maybe I want Jesus to kind of be out there. Because, I mean, I could just take the money, go out to Starbucks with my wife, you know, 200 times in the next year. Buy some new clothes. And maybe I will. Yeah, you know, you said, yeah, Pastor, you better buy some new clothes. You're wearing 50-year-old clothes here. Maybe I will. But wouldn't it be good if I invited Jesus into that situation? And I said, Jesus, let's talk. I want to be with you. Let's talk about it. Maybe he wants me to do that. Maybe he wants me to donate it to missions or to the church. Maybe he wants me to share it with other people. But I want to invite Jesus, and I want to challenge you. Beg to be with Jesus. And as you beg to be with Jesus, he may tell you, you know what? I want you to worship with the people of God every Sunday, even if you got extracurricular this and extracurricular that. I want you to be That's what I want you to do if you will invite me into your situation. I want you to work this much if you will invite me into your situation. Beg to be with Jesus. And lastly, look at verses 19 and 20. Now, it's interesting. That was the fourth beg. And usually, as we know from literary analysis, right? You guys studied AP English and all that. That, you know, it's the final one that's the strongest punch. But does Jesus grant that request in verse 19? Interestingly, he says no. Verse 19, he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends. And here's that word again, apa angelo, announce to them, declare to them, go tell it on the mountains, how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And verse 20, what does the man do? He does it. He went away and he began to proclaim. That's that same word that is used for proclaiming the gospel. Proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Everyone marveled. Believe that Jesus can deliver you. Beg to be with Jesus. And broadcast Jesus' deliverance to others. We see this dynamic of that intimacy, that closeness, that nearness to Jesus, resulting in then declaring the great things that Jesus has done. We saw that in Mark 1:35. Jesus is hanging out and spending prayer time with God the Father. And then afterwards, in verse 38 of chapter 1, he says, let us go out to the other times. And I'm one to proclaim. It's that same word that is used here in chapter 5. Preach there. Preach there also. We saw that in Mark 3, where he calls the disciples. He says, the purpose of me having discipleship with you at 7:45 a.m. on Saturday morning is so that you can be with Jesus, and then later that you can go out to preach. We see that connection. And even back in the Psalms, we see that. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge. Why? So I can sit around at D Camp and Impact and just sing Kumbaya and just kind of talk and have my whole mountaintop experience all by myself. No, it's through that intimacy with Jesus that we then tell of all your works. And so, friends, as we seek to engage in the spiritual and triumph, yes, let us believe that Jesus can deliver us. Let us beg to be with Jesus, but let us also broadcast Jesus' deliverance to others. And we're going to have the perfect opportunity to broadcast that 2 Sundays from now. Because 2 Sundays from now, we're going to have Testimony Sunday. And so I want us all to prepare and to come and tell, broadcast the great things that the Lord has done for us in 2018 and how the Lord has had mercy on us. Because if you can't tell, you know, Josh here at KCCC what the Lord has done for you, how are you going to tell them at, how are you going to tell all those heathen at Seven Lakes or Tompkins or Tays? Oh, you don't like my pronunciation? Ties. Okay, that's fine. All right. But conversely, if you can tell Sister Julia here what the great things the Lord has done for you in 2018, you probably are more likely to tell the person at BP or Taylor or McMeans or Tompkins. Okay? So get ready and come ready to broadcast the great things the Lord has done for you. Keep keeping that prayer journal, asking God for your deliverance, asking God to work in your life. And when he answers that prayer, tell the person in your circle group. Tell the person in your small group, in your missional community group, and the neighbor who doesn't know a thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. So friends, how do we engage in the classic battle of the ages, and even triumph? Let us believe beg and broadcast. Through this whole experience with my mom going to be with Jesus, people from many years in the past have come out to offer their condolences. And one was my friend from high school, Senya, whom I've told you all about. She said, "Wei, I'm sorry at the passing of your mom, and I want to send you a card. You know, I want to send you and your sister a card." Now, I'm happy to say that when I was a high school student, Senya was not demon-possessed, okay? I'm pretty sure she was not. However, I do believe that she, like many others, was oppressed by the culture of selfish ambition. Now, thankfully, she was delivered somewhat from that. And she had never set foot in a church before, but as a junior in high school, she trusted in Jesus Christ. Now, she had still had all her accolades, so she ended up going on to Stanford, getting an engineering degree, working as an engineer until she was about 25 or so. But while she was there, she kept growing. She kept being with Jesus. She kept growing in her intimacy and relationship with Jesus, so that 23 years ago, she left her stable and secure engineering job and went on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, with Crew. Right now, today, she is serving at MIT in the Boston area. She's been in there for the last 23 years. She's leading, organizing the weekly meeting at MIT. She is passing on, broadcasting how Jesus can deliver to college students today. She's been doing that for the last 23 years. Now, I am amazed that God could take someone who wasn't demon-possessed, but demonically oppressed with selfish, with worldly, only the world before them, and transform into someone who would now be broadcasting the deliverance of Jesus. Friends, believe that Jesus can deliver you. Beg to be with Jesus and broadcast his deliverance to others, and you will successfully engage and triumph in the epic battle of the ages. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise you. You alone are worthy of our praise. Thank you that Jesus is victorious, that nothing can conquer the risen, living Savior, that he has risen from the dead. He has conquered sin and death, and nothing can separate us from his love. Thank you for the victory we have in Jesus. Help us to believe in him, to be near to him, and to broadcast for him. We pray in his mighty and powerful name.